This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's Marketing Mojo on Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan. Now, just as with any industry, there's always a good side and a bad side. No less with the advertising industry. I've got Harmandir Singh here with us. He's publisher and chief editor of Marketing Magazine. And we're going to go through the good and the bad of the advertising industry. In particular, the use of the asterisk. One of the most commonly used tactics in advertising is the asterisk, with a clause to follow that inevitably absolves the advertiser of all liability. Can you tell us, Ham, about the ways that it's being used in Malaysia?
The asterisk, or more commonly known in today's speak as the star sign.
Or the fine print.
That's right, the fine print. Is commonly used in headlines to explain or to abbreviate or to guide the reader and qualify the headline and its meaning. Sometimes you see a lot of this, very promising headlines, very attractive, provocative headlines.
Yes, like free seats, free this,
right,
free
flights,
that.
Low rates, special prices, And there's always at the bottom there that with the asterisk that says terms and conditions apply.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I decided to discuss this with you today because I read an article on Marketing Magazine which you wrote. And you did mention that you know now that on AirAsia you will never get a free seat. Can you tell us about some of your experiences with the asterisk?
Well, that's just an example. And that was written quite some time ago. Just to give you an idea, a lot of consumers who read do not actually read what is the fine print at the bottom of the page. And this is where the advertising can be a bit misleading because people only read the headline most times.
So advertisers use it to get the attention of consumers. Oh, this is a very good deal or a very good promo. But then the images used or maybe even the headline doesn't actually correspond with the actual goods that the consumer is about to receive. Or maybe it has to do with the price even. So terms and conditions apply. And therefore, the consumer has to meet certain criteria before they can get what's being advertised.
Well, you can't blame advertisers because advertisers will do their best to promote their product or services. I am not disguising the role of advertising as a champion of all good things. Mm-hmm. Advertising is a commercial activity like any other. Of course, the industry tries to always self-regulate itself, which I believe is the best way forward. More importantly, at the end of the day, whatever they do in their messaging, it is the consumer that decides. So
caveat
the power actually lies in the consumer, yes.
Yeah, the buyer beware.
Yeah.
The Advertising Standards Authority in Singapore has kind of governed the use of the asterisk. Do you know what the law is there and what's the situation here in Malaysia?
Well, the last thing Singapore obviously needs is another law. And this is one that's more of a regulation. And Advertising Standards Authority is a association body that monitors and tracks ads and where you can actually submit complaints if you are not happy with a certain ad or message. We also have an Advertising Standards Authority in Malaysia. I call it ASAM. And they also meet every now and then to discuss consumer complaints and do the necessary, meet out the necessary punishment or warnings as the case may be.
Are you aware of what sort of penalties advertisers could face if they are maybe slapped with misrepresentation?
In this instance, the Advertising Association, Advertising Authority, Standards Authority of Malaysia is not a regulatory body. So what they do is they slap you with a warning, a caution, and also alert the media owner who is running that particular advertisement of the same.
So unethical use of the asterisk does have some consequences here in Malaysia.
Yes. Well, the asterisk itself is not the main culprit in this case. Our discussion obviously is wider than that. Most advertising people are not lawyers. If they were, I think the lawyers would be out of a job. Most advertising people have a conscience when they write and they have their own self-governing principles of being decent, sensible, and sensitive to the consumer out there. Because what they do is they're supposed to persuade the consumer out there. So they already have this inbuilt, discipline to do that on a constant basis. So if there is an advertisement that is deemed wrong or something, it is not something that is deliberately done in this sense.
Well, let's examine the reasons why advertisers would resort to the use of the asterisk. It's kind of like a get-out-of-jail card as well. And, you know, let's also balance that with the results. Does the asterisk bring results to advertisers?
It is not really a get-out-of-jail card. You know, it's a qualifier. Mm. Just like in the written language, you will see asterisks in books, annotations and such. What I'm trying to say is that sometimes the asterisk is overused in the sense that the headline could be a screaming headline out there and the asterisk is hidden somewhere in the fine print, and that's when it gets a bit misleading.
Right. Well, in the US, I saw a recent Verizon ad, where they actually make fun of the asterisk. You know, in the States, they are able to openly mention their competitors' brands in their ads, whereas here we're not. So Verizon is talking about their competitors and how they use maps rampantly to indicate, you know, we have the widest coverage, and then they sort of highlight all the different areas on the United States map. And then the fine print goes, "This map is not representative of actual coverage." And then they got Ricky Gervais from The Office to sort of highlight this and say,
"Verizon is the number one network in America. I know you're thinking, they all claim stuff like that. Yeah, but some of them stretch the truth a little bit. Like this. Faster, more reliable, and better coverage than ever. And it shows the coverage there. Hold on. Oh, map is not a depiction of coverage. What's the point? I'm speechless."
Only Verizon has the largest.
And I think that's brilliant. And that's probably a result, you know, of use of the asterisk in the advertising world. But also in your article, you mention, quote unquote, "Putting aside asterisks for a moment, online media is a new scary playground on how mind benders can get subversive in areas beyond advertising." So can you give us some examples of what you're talking about there?
Yeah, in this context, I'm referring to the fine print. For example, if you see an asterisk in a newspaper advertisement, you can actually read what it means and know for sure what you're getting into, or refer to some place to find out more. But in the digital space, you must have done this before when you sign up for an app and you just say agree and you follow through. So I'm referring to the fine print in this instance.
Ah,
so
yes.
Anything could happen, and you could accidentally agree to something because you may not have the time to go through on your mobile phone all the clauses in the
exactly.
term when you sign for an app or for a subscription service. That's
you might actually be agreeing, and this is something I found out personally, you might be actually agreeing to allow an app to have access to your storage and to see what's in your files on your phone, and that's pretty scary.
Oh, yeah, and pictures on your Facebook account.
There you go. Well, I'm speaking to Harmandar Singh, publisher and chief editor of Marketing Magazine. We're discussing the good and the bad of the advertising industry. The bad in today's show being the use of the asterisk. When we come back, when advertising is used for good, on Marketing Mojo Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
You want to be a successful entrepreneur? Get complete business solutions with UnifiBiz to maximize profits, exclusively for BFM listeners. Stand a chance to win prizes worth 2,700 ringgit by subscribing or upgrading to UnifiBiz Pro or Advanced and completing a slogan. Go to bfm.my/tm today. Contest ends 22nd May. Terms and conditions apply. TM, business made easier.
Good afternoon. It's Marketing Mojo on Resource Center, and I'm Maya Tan. Today, I've got Harmandar Singh here in the studio with me. He is chief editor and publisher of Marketing Magazine, and we've been discussing the good and the bad of advertising. Earlier, we talked about how the use of the asterisk could result in misleading advertising, but then advertising folks have also been known to apply their talent to campaigns that bring good to our world. So what would be your favorite example?
Well, if we backtrack a bit and look at the advertising people and the roles that they play, they are basically in the business of ideas. And they are experts in communication, whether in writing or picture or music or film. So this power that they have in them is a very strong inherent quality that can be used to promote, public service announcement messages or propel CSR campaigns. And mostly they're done on a pro bono basis. So advertising people and the medium that they are communicating in can be used as a powerful tool for the good, social good.
Especially because of the reach involved and because of the influence of the particular platforms that they are using and the influence of the brands as well. For example, if Milo does something, they would do it on quite a large scale because they have the budget for it. And also it would get the attention of all the fans out there, you know, loyal consumers of Milo.
Yes. In fact, most brands these days or in recent years on a global level are embracing this type of approach in their communications. And this can be seen by the number of creative campaigns that have come out for social good that have won awards around the world, and in particular in Cannes last year. Because in the digital space, as opposed to the traditional space, shall we say, in the digital space, it's about conversations and engagements, and that lead to conversions. Whereas in the earlier context, like in the television or in newspapers, the general premise is perception, creating a perception and repeating it often enough so that it becomes a new reality.
Are there any local examples of brands that have used advertising for good?
I think, generally speaking, most advertising or communications agencies in Malaysia do some form of pro bono work in this space for the good of society, and advertisers and brands also do actively take part in such programs. Often you can talk about the road safety campaigns that are done. You can talk about the Tatna campaign, so to speak, the infamous Tatna campaign. Mm-hmm. Some people like it, some people don't like it.
But it sticks in everyone's mind.
Well, yeah, it's catchy. I'm not sure about the results. Like in all cases, we can't really qualify what are the results. But the impact is certainly there.
Yeah, that was my next question, really, just to backtrack a bit. Mm. In your experience, have advertisers recorded a higher chance of success when advertising is used for good? Have they been able to raise the funds or meet the objectives of these campaigns?
Well, each campaign has its own, performance metrics, I'm sure. But I think you can safely assume that such campaigns produce a feel-good factor that adds onto the overall communications campaign done by the particular brand.
And I think the end goal really is to increase the brand equity, would you say? The value from the campaign and the feel-good factors would transfer onto the brand and sort of...
Yes, they all add up at the end of the day. And it's just another conversation starter, another reason to have a story. Another reason to engage with the brand.
In your column, you also mentioned some very interesting suggestions of how advertisers can do good and things that advertising agencies should take note of.
Well, I think that I will talk about the... my passion is about the poor English standards that we see currently across the board in our society. I think if advertising can help promote... the importance of English as a communications medium, as a language, as a medium to do business in, and how important that is to the future generation, that would be a good campaign. I would like to see something like that happen. Yeah,
I think it's kind of true to say across ASEAN, you know, we have seen some really funny signs and ads coming out of the entire region where English has been sort of misused. And this also kind of leads to another point which you bring up in your article, which is about why ads in Bahasa Malaysia don't have as much impact as English ads.
I think what I meant in that instance is that most of the advertising messages that we see or hear or experience are conceived in the English language currently. And there's nothing wrong with that. It just so happens that the people who are in charge of that are well-versed in the language and can learn the disciplines of the thinking disciplines required to come up with the good, right ideas from a global level. So English is important in that sense. But at the same time, if these same disciplines can be taught to somebody who is very well-versed in Bahasa Malaysia, I think you will see some really powerful ideas coming through, not just within that language of Bahasa Malaysia, but also taking into account the nuances and the social connotations and all that colourful stuff that comes with the language and culture.
I think what you're saying is that a lot of ads are conceived of, the concepts are developed in English and then they are translated into the different vernaculars.
Yes, literally.
And it doesn't always carry through properly if there is sort of a pun or a joke, or a phrase that's commonly used in English that people get, it may not necessarily transfer well into the vernaculars. But I can see that some of our advertisers have made good use of the Malay language or, colloquial Malaysian sayings, the Jom Hebo, Jom Lepaks. And you've got some examples there as well, you see.
Yeah, I see the Sudah Potong, the P1 campaign.
Yeah.
All this is possible if the creative person or the writer goes back and conceives the thinking in the language, in this case, Bahasa Malaysia, as opposed to what you mentioned just now, the literal translation, which sometimes is done because it's a global campaign and we need to adapt to local markets. But if your market is really Malay-speaking and that's where the masses really belong and understand, then you should actually take this opportunity to create in Bahasa Malaysia and shine.
And I think that a lot of phrases like Jom Makan, Jom Lepak, these kinds of phrases, any Malaysian of any race or creed would definitely respond to as well.
Certainly, there's a rich vocabulary out there and it would make for some really good advertising messages here.
All right. Well, thanks very much for joining us today, Harmandar Singh, publisher and chief editor of Marketing Magazine. This has been Marketing Mojo on Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan for BFM 89.9. Sorry, did you want to add something?
Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.